Amen. What a blessing that was. We do believe. I trust that you believe. That's exactly what the Bible teaches. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Luke in chapter 5. Luke in chapter 5. We're going to be reading verse 17 down to verse 26. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. What a blessing it's been to be in the Lord's house. Experience the presence of God in this place. Luke chapter 5. You'll stand with me. We'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. The Bible says in book of Luke in chapter 5, verse 17, "And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching Jesus, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. When they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and led him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered, saying, and said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he arose up before them, and took up that therein wherein he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God." Look at verse 26. "And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today." We have seen strange things today. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you, what a blessing it is to be assembled in this place and to sense your presence here. What a blessing it is to have your word preserved by you for us today. To have it before us, to be able to read it and to preach it. And I pray, God, that you'd give each one of us a special ear to hear exactly what you have to say to us individually. Lord, you know what's going on in the lives of everyone here today. God, there's no doubt that we have experienced your presence here today. And now we want to hear from you. I pray that you'd speak to us. I ask, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. A very familiar passage of Scripture here in this story. But in this event, when Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, when He walked on this earth some 2,000 years ago, as He was preaching the Word Himself, a paralyzed man was brought to him for healing. And at the end of the service, we find verse 26. And the Bible says at the end of the service that all were amazed. That everyone there all glorified God. Everyone there was filled with fear. And then at the very end it says, they said, "We have seen strange things today." That word strange, it means contrary to common or ordinary experiences. I want you to focus. I want you to think about that. Contrary to common or ordinary experiences. Can I tell you that it's what we need and it's what we ought to pray for every Sunday? Lives being changed. Sins being forgiven. God's grace being poured out upon the entire congregation. Wow. As we look to this passage of Scripture, if that's what we want, and I trust it is what we want, I want to preach a message on what we must have to experience strange things in our services. What we must have is what they had. Because they experienced this strange or contrary to common, no common or ordinary experience. This was something that went beyond physical. This is something that was spiritual. This was something that was divine. And what we must have to experience this in our services. Verse 17, the very beginning. We must have the presence of God. They had it, the Bible says, and it came to pass on a certain day as He, Jesus, was teaching. Now, in Mark's account of the very same story, in Mark chapter 2 and verse 2, he says, "And He preached the word unto them." And so you get a better understanding of what was taking place when you look at all that the Bible gives us concerning the events of the life of Christ. And as He was there, yes, we find that Luke says He was teaching and Mark says He was preaching. So I believe He was doing both. I believe that good preaching teaches. Amen? And Jesus was the best teacher and Jesus was the best preacher that anyone could ever sit before and listen to. He was God Himself. He was God who was manifested into the flesh. And He was here on this earth to present the very truths of the Word of God. As we find here that we must have the presence of God. We must have Jesus in our midst. Now there's conditions for that. The Bible says where two or three are gathered in His name, He's there in the midst. And so when we assemble ourselves together, it must be focused on Him. It must be that we are focused on His presence, His power, His Word, and His will. It's not something that we need to assemble ourselves together for man's sake. It's not something that we need to assemble ourselves together to hear from a man, or to be entertained from a group of singers, or for any other man-made purpose. We don't need man-made worship today. As we're looking around, and that's what we're seeing all over the country and all over the world, we're looking to see what man can produce as far as a worship service or a service to assemble a crowd. And there's many a crowd being assembled on Sunday mornings today. But can I tell you that they're not assembled together with the power of God if they don't have Jesus in the midst? What we need to be looking for and what we must have to have this kind of service is Jesus in our midst. In Matthew chapter 28, we find the Great Commission. And most of us here would be able to quote at least partially some of this Great Commission that He gave to the church. But this is what He says in Matthew chapter 28, His last message in the book of Matthew to His church. He says in verse 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying," before He would ascend up to heaven, He says, "All power is given unto Me in heaven and in earth." All power is given unto Him, Jesus. And so if He's present, we have the all power of God. "All power is given unto Me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." He's given us instructions on how to have His presence and what to do to have His power. Go do My will. Do what I tell you to do. Teaching them. Not only do you reach them, but then you disciple them. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And if you do these things, He says, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Why have we always been a soul-winning church? Why have we always had a bus ministry? Why have we always preached the Word of God? And why have we always looked to have a biblical ministry? It's because we have always looked to have the presence of God in this place. Don't want something common. Don't want something man-made. Don't want a man-made worship experience. I want the presence of God. The presence of God would be contrary to common or ordinary experiences. I love the day and age we're living in and all the different types of so-called ministries today. We've just come out with a new track. It says Still Church. I don't know if you've read it or not, but let me read. It says timeless or trendy. Malls are trendy. Churches should feel timeless. With the forceful current of constant change sweeping over every part of our lives, people have the need to connect with something enduring and firm. We believe Christ designed the church to fulfill the need by representing an eternal kingdom, an ageless truth, with no need to imitate the culture. No need to imitate the culture. We want you to know that there's still a church that feels like a church. It won't feel like a rock concert, praise God. Comedy club. Or motivational seminar. It's not old-fashioned, as in 50 years ago. It is timeless, as in 2,000 years ago. A church where they're still preaching. Dynamic, passionate preaching straight from the Bible still brings more lasting change than comedy routines, drama, or motivational talks. Come discover the benefit of Bible preaching. Still men. The rumor that masculine men hate church simply isn't true. Come discover an environment where plenty of real men still believe God. Still believe God expects them to step up and provide strong, loving leadership in the church and in their families. Still hymns. Most church music amounts to dumbing down the lyrics and cranking up the volume to build interest. The hymns we sing still generate an attitude toward God that is anything but lifeless or boring. Can I hear an amen? Still reverent. Casual is all the rage in America institutions. But God deserves better. While you won't find a judgmental spirit, amen, you will find a place that still believes reverence is right for the presence of God. Still family. Our culture experiments with the family. Our culture's experiments with the family have left the American home in a mess. We still teach the biblical roles for the family as the best answer and as our only hope for stable, fulfilled homes. still exciting. God doesn't need the top 40 or the latest fads to be exciting. We still enjoy several timeless practices that stir the soul in a way that strobe lights and dancing in the aisles can never manufacture. Still church. Still biblical-based ministry. 28 years and going strong. Why? Because we want the presence of God. God's presence. For 28 years. As a pastor, that's what I prayed for. As a pastor, I knew that's what we need. That's what I needed. That's why for 28 years, if I'm preaching on Sunday, I'm here Saturday nights. This church becomes my prayer closet. On Saturday nights, I'm just calling out to God for His presence. I go over our church membership list because I want to know those in whom are going to come to their home church to find refuge. Those that are going to come to their home church to be fed the Word of God. Those who are going to come with needs that entertainment's not going to meet. Those who are going to come with needs that only the Spirit of God's presence is going to be able to minister to them and to help them as they need help. For 28 years, Saturday nights, this place has been my prayer closet. For 28 years, I've come and asked God to use me. Just come and on my face before God, just asking Him for His power. Because I have nothing to give that the people would need. The only way that we're going to have the power of God through the preaching is to have God's presence. It's what we need. It's what we ought to be praying for. And I believe we have. I believe we have a congregation of faithful members who pray for that purpose. He pray for that end, that God would meet with us and this would be a place of refuge. What must we have to experience strange things? The presence of God. The second thing that we must have as we look here is verse 18 and 19. A people with a burden or compassion for others. This is not an exclusive club. This is a spiritual hospital that we ought to be medics bringing in those in need of a spiritual healing. That we ought to be out there looking for those that have a need for what God has to offer them. A people with a burden for the lost. A people with a compassionate heart to go out and to bring them in so that they can be built up, so that we can send them out to once again bring them in, to build them up, to send them out, to bring them in, to build them up, to send them out, and continue that process until Christ returns. I think we had a verse 18 and 19, a people with a burden. Behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with palsy. And they sought means to bring him in, to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find by what way they might bring him in, it didn't discourage them. They went upon the housetop, let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. I love what the Bible gives us in the book of Jude, the last book before the book of Revelation. In Jude, in verse 21 and verse 22, it says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, If you love God, you're going to have a burden for humanity. If you love God, you're going to love what God loves, and God loves humanity. He sent His only Son to die for the world so that the world might be saved and reconciled back to God. Keep yourselves in the love of God and looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference. Can I tell you that many lives would be different if someone would reach out to them with the truth? I truly believe there's many in our area right here that are seeking the truth and don't know what the truth is. They're seeking what we have, don't know what it is. The only way that they're going to find it is for us to have compassion, for us to take it to them, for us to be a witness, for us to have a compassion for the lost and had this kind of desire to bring them to Jesus. Those men were not doing it for recognition. Those men were not doing it because of convenience. They were truly burdened for this paralyzed man. The Bible doesn't say, were they family? We don't know. Were they neighbors? We don't know. I don't think He wanted us to know that. Because He wanted you to think that there is spiritually paralyzed people all around you. He didn't tell us it was family. It could have been, and we should have a desire to reach our families. It could have been their neighbors, because we ought to have a desire to reach our neighbors. It could have been a stranger. They just walked by on their way, and they seen this paralyzed man. And they had compassion. And they said, let's join forces. Let's pick him up and let's take him to Jesus. If we want strange things, if we want something spiritual to take place, we must have His presence. We must have people with a burden for others. And then lastly, look there at chapter 5. We must have people who truly have faith. You've heard the message, who truly believe. Just believe. Verse 20. When He saw their faith, saw their faith. I believe He's talking about all of them. Not just the one that got healed, but the ones that brought him to Jesus. People who truly believe that Jesus is the Messiah. A people who truly believe He is God. A people who truly believe that as God, He has preserved this Bible right here for us that we might know who He is. There is no way that we can know who God is unless God has revealed Himself to us. And God has revealed Himself to us through His Word. And even beyond that, He revealed Himself to us by Himself becoming a man. And living a perfect, sinless life. An example for how mankind ought to live and to please God. But not only do we believe that He is who He is, but we must believe that He will make a difference. They would not have went through the trouble that they went through of carrying this man and realizing they couldn't get in the door because it was too crowded. There was no way in, no entrance. But they would actually carry this man and climb up on the rooftop and open the roof up and let him down. They would not have done that if they had not believed that Jesus would make a difference in this man's life. They didn't do it because of recognition. At least the recognition of man. We shouldn't serve God for the recognition of man. You don't always have to have a pat on the back for what you do by man. So don't get discouraged when you don't get it. Know that God sees it. And that's the one we're trying to please anyway. They didn't do it because of it was convenient. Can I tell you, it's not convenient. Satan will always make sure that it's not convenient to do right. There's always going to be a temptation to turn away from doing right. You only do right because you have determined to do right. You have disciplined yourself to do right. You have prioritized your life to do right. And they knew this was right for them to do it. A people who had faith, who believed that He was the Messiah and that He would make a difference. Those carrying this man to Jesus impacted this paralyzed man's faith to believe. Because this man would not have been healed, he would not have had his sins forgiven him if he did not believe that Jesus could forgive him of his sins. If he did not believe that Jesus could heal his physical body. And so these men, as far as we know, they are the ones that said, we're going to take you to Jesus because He is the Messiah and He will make a difference in your life. And their faith impacted His faith. Can I tell you, your faith can impact others' faith. As a parent, your faith or your faithlessness will impact your children and their faith. If it's a game, if it is just for show to you, it will be seen in your children's lives. If it's real to you, that will impact your children's faith to know that it's real. As a spouse, can I tell you that your faith will impact your spouse's faith? No one's going to know you like your spouse does, and they know whether it's genuine or not. Amen? Your faith can impact others' faith. Your faith as a friend can impact your friend's faith. It made a difference. Verse 21. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, He answered, said unto them, why reason ye in your hearts? He knew He was God, and He knew that He was not blaspheming. It would be blaspheming if He was not God to tell this man his sins were forgiven. Whether it's easier to say that thy sins be forgiven or to say, rise up and walk. Because He knew exactly what He was going to do. Not only was He going to forgive this man of his sins, but He was going to heal his body. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power, and you're going to experience it, you're going to see it, upon the earth, to forgive sins. And He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up. See, they had faith that taking him to Jesus would make a difference. And it made a difference. First of all, spiritually. Can I tell you that God is always more concerned about the spiritual than the physical, because the spiritual is eternal. The physical is temporal. He's more concerned about the eternal than the temporal. And He addressed the eternal first. Thy sins be forgiven. And then he addressed the physical. Rise up and walk. Because Jesus was God. He can do both. Can I tell you, he can do both because of his presence in this place. You can be blessed spiritually and you can be blessed physically. Amen. But it's in that order that he is concerned about. He first of all wants you to spiritually come to him. And when you come to him, he can meet every need that you have. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He can do both. He can forgive your sins. He can give you new life. He can give you spiritual insight. And he can take care of that physical need as well. We see that happen every time we assemble ourselves together. If you're looking for it, if you come with the right attitude, you come with the right heart, you come with the right expectations, you'll find strange things happening in this place. Oh, that we would experience the same strange things in every service. In every service. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. 28 years crying out for his presence to make this church a place of refuge. For not only the members, but for all that would come through the doors. 28 years of a people with a burden to bring in others. A people with a burden not to have an exclusive club, but to have a spiritual hospital that they can bring family, friends, and even strangers to find the help that they need. Twenty-eight years of a people who truly believe, have faith to believe, that God can make a difference in anyone and in everyone's life who will simply look to Jesus. This morning, let something strange happen to you. Contrary to common or ordinary experiences, let God, through the blood of Jesus Christ, forgive you of your sins. Experience salvation through calling upon the name of the Lord. Experience the help that he can bring into your life, the joy, the peace, the purpose for your existence. Experience this same kind of strange thing. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for your presence in this place. Thank you for your word. And I pray now that you would take your word and make whatever application that each one here needs. There's someone here that's lost. I pray that today they'd be saved. Someone here that needs to come back home to you, I pray, God, that this would be a homecoming. Someone here that just needs to confess and forsake a sin or a lifestyle, God, help them today. Needs a healing, oh God, work in their lives today. Whatever the need might be, I pray that they would look to you for that need. Bless now in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.